Let's push off into another remarkable hour tonight. 3 great hours of programming coming your way every night of the week. I'm Jeff Rentz, and we are live to England, where it's very early in the morning with two stalwart gents who are bringing some remarkable insight, information, theory, and logic to this program tonight, the likes of which many of you probably have not heard before. It's been a long time since I've heard originality and, again, common sense put forth so eloquently like this. Michael Roll and Ron Pearson. Ron Pearson, a retired university lecturer specializing in thermodynamics and fluid mechanics. And Michael is an extraordinary man in his own right. As he said earlier, he is an expert on suppression, among many things. But his science is, some may call it lay, but he's right in there. And they've been working together for almost 15 years now, I guess, on this issue. Let me ask you a question first to Michael. We have spent a lot of time on this program, I have, over the years, talking to people about orbs and spheres. I mean the small kind, some the size of a ping pong ball, some a bit bigger. There are now lots of people all over the world taking photographs, and they appear to show round luminosities. I'm not sure if they are real. I'm not sure what they are, but they are apparently something. What about the idea of the human soul, the human etheric consciousness, hanging around this particular plane in an orb glowing ball format, which can and seemingly has been captured on film, changing into that mist we call ectoplasm? I've seen some amazing photographs which would suggest that this orb we're seeing in one frame is transforming itself into a mist in the next. Michael, what about all that?
Well, I can only talk of my experiences on my repeatable experiments. When all this missing mathematics started coming through, I said, well, look, what we've got to do now is repeat the experiments of Crookes and Richet and all those with using modern sophisticated recording equipment. They only had the flashlight camera. At least they did have something.
Uh-huh.
But now, imagine what it's like if somebody fully materializes, a recently deceased person. There's nothing to stop us going in with the cameras and recording the whole thing. So as soon as I witnessed this wonderful experiment, I was rather cross, actually, because this medium had been demonstrating her gift for a couple of years before I got there. And the spiritualists, it was through the spiritualist movement, mm-hmm. and they were using it as a sort of peep show, or like going to the bingo instead of the greatest scientific experiment in history.
Well, that's
and
the
first thing I did was to write a scientific report of what I witnessed, and I managed to get a professor of astrophysics, Professor Archie Roy from Glasgow University, to take it off my back, because there's no point in me filming it. As an art student, I'd be laughed off the park. But if you get a professor of astrophysics doing the filming, they can't call him a fraud because he'd sue them. So I handed this over to professor of astrophysics to go in with the infrared cameras and get everything recorded. And unfortunately, me doing that destroyed this medium because all the time she was demonstrating to spiritualists, she was harmless to the establishment. But as soon as the establishment heard that I had got a professor of astrophysics to go in and film everything, her life was threatened. They said, anonymously, of course, that if you go ahead with this filming with Professor Roy, we'll not only kill you, we'll kill your family as well. So it frightened her to death.
That'll do it.
Yeah, because she knew what happened to previous materialization mediums. The great Helen Duncan was killed by a police raid in England in 1956. And they're so easy to kill.
I know. You're talking to an audience, Michael, that fully understands how easy it is to remove people.
Yes, you see, this is what happened. Helen Duncan was a brilliant materialization medium, and the establishment were after, and they did kill her in the end by interrupting her while she was demonstrating. So the ectoplasm, which this etheric scientist had withdrawn from her body to form a temporary sort of spacesuit for people to be teleported into, that ectoplasm, when the police broke down the doors, rushed back into her body, and she died a week later of internal hemorrhaging. So that proves Helen Duncan was a genuine medium, otherwise she wouldn't have been killed if she was a fraud, you see. So that's what frightened my medium off, because she knew what happened to Helen Duncan. She said, blimey, if I go ahead with this experiment, I'm going to get killed.
Okay. Ectoplasm leaving the body. What about that? People talk about out-of-body experiences, out-of-body travel, and they are on this program occasionally remarking about how they're afraid to leave their body, that they might not be able to get back in and so forth. Are we talking about the same basic thing here?
Don't think so. No, I'm dealing solely with people who have left their bodies and they're coming back to prove survival. That's
okay.
What about
now,
the out of body experiences? The hearsay from the next world is that they're still attached by some sort of magnetic connection.
It
hasn't been severed, so
right,
to speak.
A golden cord or something.
No, I don't like to use that word.
Let's
say some sort of connection, like an umbilical cord between the baby and the mother.
Sure, understand.
That
all right.
type of thing. So it's always something in nature to back it up. But once that cord or the magnetic connection is broken, then you can't come back. But out-of-body experiences and near-death experiences, that fits in logically with what we've been talking about, and they're able to come back into their bodies again.
Yeah. What about ectoplasm?
Yeah, well, this is very important. Obviously, from what we're learning about this now, the etheric scientists say they've got to take this substance from the medium. They have something, obviously, in their chemistry that they can withdraw the physical protons, neutrons, and electrons to form a temporary sort of spacesuit for the etheric scientists to teleport people back onto our Earth plane for a short period of time. They can just use this ectoplasm as a sort of spacesuit.
Interesting. All right. Ron, what about you and this whole world of paranormal and materializing people and spheres and orbs and ectoplasm?
We're covering it already earlier on. They make a mixture of their own material with something drawn from the medium, which is called ectoplasm, and then they make a kind of temporary covering with this material.
Now, we've seen photographs, Ron, of apparently just ectoplasm. There are quite a few of them around there, and they're often seen at least in the photographs I've seen, they're sometimes seen at graveyards or seen, they're often captured in a flash at night. A nighttime flash photograph will seemingly capture these mists, and they're very dense at times.
Yes, when Helen Duncan fully materialized in front of me, the dead physical medium, she's now coming back. And I said, Helen, I'm terrified the same thing's going to happen to this medium here that happened to you. And she said, her answer was that ever since she was killed in 1956, the scientists in the etheric world have been refining the substance of ectoplasm that they take from the medium to avoid any tragedies like this in the future.
Huh.
And I was allowed to touch Helen Duncan, and it was just like touching you. I couldn't feel any covering round her. She says, you can't feel it. It's so fine now, but it's there. But they have managed to refine the chemistry of the ectoplasm to avoid any tragedies in the future. So they're working hard in the next world, the same as we are, to progress.
Very interesting. All right, Ron, let me give you the one of the bigger questions, and that is time. What is time?
Yes, that's a very difficult question.
Well, I will go into the world of speculation here. I'm not,
yes,
of course.
Well, my own work proceeded by using the Newtonian definition of time, that it just goes on continuously from a start at some very remote time. This seemed to fit all the facts. Without any change, it is just possible that time may not exist at all, but because it has been projected, just like the space, both time and space could be projections from something even deeper than I've been looking at. But this is something which I'm not at all sure about at this time, at this stage.
How about your own spiritual experiences, Ron?
I've had quite a few, actually. I think as soon as you start dealing with something of this sort, and things like this start to come to you. And I have had, on several occasions, considerable reassurance. On one occasion, for example, we were drawn to a meeting, and a very good medium was at this meeting. And she brought through William Crookes. So William Crookes, who was the first person to, in fact, try and establish that this whole thing was real. And on another occasion, which happened this year, a medium contacted me from Cheltenham, about 60 miles away,
mm-hmm.
and she came to see me because she said she'd been instructed to work with scientists and could she give me a reading, which she did, and she brought through, leisurely anyway, Sir Isaac Newton, which was a great thrill. If it was in fact him,
well, I would say, yeah.
To suspect it wasn't, because what he said during this time, this communication, was quite relevant to what I was doing. He seemed to know exactly what I was doing.
And you're convinced that she could not have known any of this?
Yes. Quite a few things happened which supported the fact that it was genuine. One was that a person whose name began with Y would be contacting me within 2 days. And this has happened exactly 2 days later.
Hmm.
Somebody called Yabsley rang me up from BBC Bristol to go on the air.
Hmm.
And she also said that I would get ideas whilst walking the dog, which I do, and that I should proceed with a book which I was thinking of writing, which I hadn't told anybody about. So somebody was monitoring my thoughts anyway. And then a very strange thing happened. This book was on about predictions, and walking the dog a few days later, I saw a wire mesh which was blocking the route which we normally go along. The dog goes on a stile, and I saw a wire mesh blocking the way.
Mm-hmm.
When I got closer to this position, this disappeared, and I realized it was a hallucination. The strange thing was that 2 days later, walking the same route,
mm-hmm.
I had the same hallucination, but when we got closer this time, I found it was real. I'd seen this mesh 2 days before it existed.
Ah.
It seemed to give me the message that I should go ahead with this book on predictions. So these are the kind of things that happen to you as soon as you get into this kind of area.
Well, you attract, as we've talked about.
You attract this kind of attention.
You send out the energy and it comes back. We'll be right back, Ron Pearson and Michael Rohl, in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're here on this Sunday evening, and we shall continue. Okay, let's rejoin our guests. When they're, you guys are doing real well. Considering it's the, it's 9:30 here, that means it's
5:20
there. Yeah, right. The sun will be up soon.
I think it's terribly important at this stage to explain to your listeners why we have to use a medium.
Okay.
I think that's very important.
Good. That's not something they're just doing on a lark, friends.
Let's get it on a scientific basis.
Right.
You can't see. We're dealing with the invisible part of the universe.
Right.
Therefore, we have to work with a machine.
Even though it's the vast majority of the universe, it's still invisible to us.
Yes, that's right. If we're going to contact that part of the universe that's beyond our five physical senses, we have to work with a machine. The microscope is a fine example. You can't see microbes without the microscope.
All right.
Right, you can't see the invisible signals hitting your television aerial without the medium in your front room, the television set.
Quite.
It's only a go-between the physical world and the invisible world. If we're going to contact people in the invisible part of the universe, we have to work with a physical medium, a human medium, because the human mind and brain is a far more sophisticated instrument than anything invented by human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why we have to. It's nature's go-between. Nature has given us this wonderful go-between, a human medium, and we've had them ever since we first came onto this planet. And if you look back through history, the whole history is littered with this type of thing. But you've always got to have this go-between.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you find a functional, reliable, credible medium?
Oh, well, I'm only interested, as you know, in the scientific side with the materialization medium, and whatever happens, you cannot fake that. You'd know immediately if you're talking to somebody close to you, like your mother or a dead son or something, in 2 seconds flat, because all five senses are working. If you're speaking to your mother on the phone, only one sense is working, and you know immediately if it's your mother. However good the mimic, they could never fool you that you weren't talking to your mother. So it's game, set, match, and championship once you find one of these materialization mediums. So I'm putting out, through your program, out there, please come forward and let us dedicate your gift to science. And let us do these repeatable experiments. We lost the medium that I was working with because her life was threatened. So come forward to our scientists who are on your side. Number one priority will be to protect the medium's life at all costs. And we should be very sympathetic to any medium that comes forward and dedicates their gift to scientific advancement. And there'll be nothing to stop us filming internationally famous people who once lived on Earth coming back and being reunited with their loved ones.
Just take one filming session.
That's right. Well, it wouldn't. I mean, Professor Roy, when he witnessed this, first of all, he phoned me up afterwards and said, Mike, I've now got to do the same repeatable experiments that Sir William Crookes carried out. It took Crookes 4 years of experiments before he felt confident enough to publish in a scientific paper, which he did.
Tell our listeners what Mr. Crookes actually succeeded in doing.
Yes, well, he first of all came in 1870 into the Victorian era to destroy this so-called spiritualist and psychic phenomenon.
Well, there was a big movement afoot then, too.
That was right, big parlor business. Orthodox science were livid about this spiritualist business, so they thought, oh, great, Crookes has come in, he's going to sort this lot out. But luckily, he came across a materialization medium called Florrie Cook, and every time Florrie Cook went into trance, somebody from the next world called Katie King fully materialized in his laboratory. And he got a team of British scientists to witness what he was doing. But it took him a long, long time of repeatable experiments before he felt safe enough to publish in the Quarterly Journal of Science, one of the top scientific magazines of the day. So we've had these experiments. We're only going to repeat them. And I can't stress strongly enough what we've been waiting for is a scientific theory to back up these experiments, which we now have.
Now you've got it from Ron.
Now we've got the two together. That's game, set, match, and championship, because we're only fighting to present our case. And what would people rather go with? When you're dead, you're dead. Resting in peace in the ground waiting for judgment day, or our philosophy? And that's a rhetorical question, because everybody's going to die, and we've all lost loved ones, so everybody comes with us. In fact, Dr. Susan Blackmore said to me, she lives in Bristol, quite near me. We've met quite a few times, and she moaned. She said, having a pint of beer together, she says, oh, everybody wants to come with you. And I said, well, Susan, they can't come with me because they haven't got access to my work. Only you are allowed access to the media. I'm not. And that's my fight, just to present our case.
All right. Stand by.
Can I mention how William Crookes, they waited for him to die before they tried to discredit him.
Okay, we'll do that, Ron, when we come back in just a minute. Okay, welcome back. A couple of segments left with Ron Pearson and Michael Roll, live from England. Ron, you started to talk about Mr. Crookes, and they waited until he was deceased to do what?
The established physicists of the time, all the scientists, were absolutely aghast at Crookes' findings and flatly refused to accept them. In fact, quite a number of the physicists refused to even witness the experiments which he was doing. Stokes, for example, flatly refused to enter the laboratory and then afterwards said that nobody had witnessed his experiment, and therefore it hadn't been substantiated, refused to look at them.
How many actually did witness it, do we know?
Yes, I've got a photograph in front of me of eminent surgeons. Many scientists did actually witness it, but some of the top ones, like Sir George Stokes that Ron's just mentioned, he was secretary of the Royal Society. He flatly refused to even come and witness it.
Sounds to me like he was scared.
Yeah, they were. As Ron said, that he was too big to attack in his day, because after he actually proved survival, he was knighted, he was made president of the Royal Society, and he was given the highest decoration in the land, the Order of Merit. And if you look up X-rays in the encyclopedia, you'll see he was the pioneer of subatomic physics. And also, you wouldn't be watching television without Sir William Crookes,
because
he invented the cathode ray tube.
That's right.
We're talking about one of the greatest scientists who's ever lived. And when he died in 1919, the scientists came on to him, the orthodox scientists, and he's come down to us in history now as a liar, a cheat, a crank, a fraud. And they've also tagged on that he was a sex maniac,
that he
was having sexual relations with the medium.
Right.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Right. Have people tried to use television to materialize or act as a... I know it's been the stuff of science fiction, but have there been experiments where the television itself has been used, or a cathode ray tube, to try to give a channel to, as it were, to another energy?
Yes, some work is going ahead in Luxembourg on this, and I have in fact seen a video of such a demonstration where somebody has actually used a television set and produced pictures from people who've passed over.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, there's another phenomenon, Ron, that I've spent time on this program with, and that is the apparent ability to record non-audible but recordable voices.
Oh, yes, recorded voices, yes.
Voices, yes. Now, what about that?
Oh, it seems to be perfectly genuine, yes. Also working, in fact, going on ahead on this as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in contact with it myself, but
yes.
I do know work is in hand on this.
Yes, it's what they call electronic voice phenomena.
Oh, I've done many programs on it, Michael,
yes,
and it's extraordinary to hear these recordings. And again, the people doing the recording don't audibly hear the voices, but they are recorded on the tapes.
Yes, I'm in touch with the EVP people in England here,
yes.
And they're certainly progressing. The whole thing is now coming to a head. It's getting terribly exciting. And don't forget, after Crookes did that, international teams of scientists across the world then carried out their own experiments, repeating Crookes' work. The French team under Professor Charles Richet, Richet is a Nobel laureate for medical science, hardly an idiot, and he says materialization should take definite fact as a scientific fact. He made that statement.
Well, this is one of the clearly one of the biggest shames and cover-ups of 20th century science.
It's made me absolutely livid, because we're not allowed to defend these great scientists.
Yeah.
Crookes is still under a terrific attack in England, and Sir Oliver Lodge, the inventor of radio. Sir Oliver Lodge sent a radio signal 1 year before Marconi.
And
he's been written out of our history books because he dared to read survival as a branch of physics.
And look at, talk about writing people out of the history books, how about Nikola Tesla?
Well, yes. Ron knows about that, yeah.
Ron, tell us about Tesla, Ron, from a scientist's perspective, your perspective.
Well, it's quite astonishing, really, that so little is known about Tesla. I'm talking about people in the man in the street hardly knows the word.
No, all they know is Edison.
And yet he was responsible, he invented, some people say he invented the 20th century, because he carried out all the original work and invented all the devices we have, the power generating station and so on, and he did a phenomenal amount of work. In fact, he also worked on free energy from a vacuum, as far as you can see, and achieved it. And this is something which is only just being touched upon now.
He was another who realized that this is not all there is, Tesla. He knew that there was...
Oh, yes, I'm sure he did.
One book written about him that I have called A Man Out of Time. He was not of this time. He was truly an extraordinary quirk. Do these people come along very often, Tesla types, and are they sometimes tragically persecuted in our times and institutionalized, like I've heard? People lock them away when they start talking about things that they shouldn't have knowledge of as being crazy and so forth. Do you run across brilliant people that...
I've not met that personally. What I think they tend to do is to simply use discreditment as a means for attack.
Uh-huh.
Well,
refuse to allow materials to be published in the journals.
Right, easy to marginalize them through the professional mechanism that science is.
Well, what's happening in England is that the critics of Crookes and Lodge and people like that are allowed total freedom of our television sets. After program is put out attacking them, but no qualified scientists are allowed to go on and defend them.
And
this is why I'm so angry. I'm not angry that they're under attack.
Yeah.
I'm angry that there's no balance. You see, that's where we are at the moment.
I'm wondering how many people in the past, though, are born with an extraordinary intellect that is not just marginalized but eradicated because it doesn't fit in. And you know how the pecking order works. If you don't fit in, they'll come after you.
Well, the most wonderful example of that is Thomas Paine. We've only just discovered him in England. He's been
really?
Written out of our history book.
Huh.
But yeah. My goodness, everything he did was correct. I mean, you broke away from us in 1776 because you broke away from a terrible tyranny.
Yeah.
Our monarch was born to rule the country in those days, but now things have changed.
Thomas Paine, just discovered in England. Remarkable.
Yes, we've only just discovered him. He's been written out of our history books.
Yeah. Amazing. As I said before, the winners write the story.
That's
and
right.
We'll be right back. Our last segment coming up with Michael Rohl and Ron Pearson in just a couple of minutes. Okay, our last segment with two remarkable scientists and gentlemen from England, Michael Rohl and Ron Pearson. And gentlemen, let me right now, before we run out of time in this segment, thank both of you for getting up at this hour and presenting such extraordinary information, truly visionary information, to an awful lot of people. And this program will be in our archives and will be able to be listened to from now on, anytime anybody in the world wants to hear it.
Thank you for inviting us.
It's wonderful. Yeah. I'd like to get across towards the end here. Now that scientists have discovered that our physical bodies are made of invisible stuff, you can't see the protons, neutrons, and electrons that make up our physical body, not even through the most powerful microscope.
Well said, yes.
So when you take that on board, that we are made of invisible stuff, it's no longer fantastic, Jeff, to have something separate from the physical body at death, another invisible source, you see.
Yes.
So I think it's very important to take that on board.
I was just pondering during the commercial what we had talked about almost 3 hours ago now, what this would mean when eventually someone is able to document with film or videotape a materialization of someone who is deceased, what that will do to the the strictures that we are currently living under. It'll blow them apart.
There would be nothing to stop us filming the Princess of Wales, for example, who went to a medium just before she was killed. There would be nothing to stop her coming back at our experiments and being reunited with her children. Nothing at all to stop it. The medium that I was working with was certainly good enough to produce that type of phenomena. And as when you link that up with Ron Pearson's physics, it's Bob's your uncle. And well, people will never be frightened of death. When my time comes to leave this mortal coil, I look upon it as a tremendous adventure. I should be terribly excited.
Well, be sure and leave codes.
Oh, I have.
I bet you have.
With all my friends and relations, we've got the codes. But everybody's got the codes. You've got the codes with your family. The only certain
sure.
things within your family you know.
Sure. Do the people on the other side often watch what their loved ones still
yes,
stuck here are doing?
They tell us that they can see what everything we're doing here, but we can't see them. But they can certainly see what help us. And,
do they pass judgment? Is it a judgmental existence in the ether as it is here?
No, they say when we go over, you do your own judging because everything is recorded on time. Action replays are new toys on Earth, but certainly not in the etheric world. Mm. Every single thing is recorded on time, and you do your own judging when you see how you've behaved on Earth. But most people have led pretty good lives anyway. We've all made mistakes. But if you've left a bomb in a crowded pub, you ain't going to be mixing with normal, decent people. That's what they say, and
right.
It makes sense to me.
Right, birds of a feather.
That's right.
Ron Pearson,
it is
one of the great ironies of the last century and this new century that Einstein, who was looked upon as a savior and a light into the darkness, is in a way, if you are right, with his physics and so forth, his view of the world, actually an impediment to growth.
Yes. I'd like to go into this a little bit. I think this is the main problem. His theory of relativity both theories, special and general, are incompatible with the very existence of an ether. And until this is removed, nobody in science is going to accept any of them, the data. There's an enormous amount of data has been assessed, amassed, I mean, ever since, for the last 100 years or so, an enormous amount of data, but it's all dismissed as rubbish and so on, and rubbished and discredited, because the physicists can't fit in with their current theories. It's against their paradigm. And until they can change this paradigm, they simply will refuse to accept any data, no matter how good it is, because they see it as a threat. And the point is that they've been struggling to fit quantum theory to Einstein's theory to get a match for over 50 years, and all attempts have failed. When you go back to basics and do as I've done and refine Newton's physics a little bit, what you get is all the predictions of Einstein, and this then fits in with quantum theory. So already we have a solution to this problem. The difficulty is that all the students are taught Einstein's stuff at an early stage, and they all accept it, and they're all stuck on a false track. Until this false track can be removed, unless it can be diverted from this blind alley they're in, they never will accept the paranormal. They'll still keep fighting against it.
It's rather like there was a major course decision made which sent people down into what we call here in the States a cul-de-sac.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yes, and Dr. Louis Essen, the inventor of the atomic clock, has been criticizing Einstein's theory of relativity for years. In fact, Dr. Louis Essen actually gave Ron his ticket to the Sir Isaac Newton conference in St. Petersburg.
Wow, what a wonderful compliment.
But Essen has to write in small circulation magazines. Any criticism of Einstein is peer refereed out of any official scientific magazine.
He was the inventor of the cesium beam atomic clock, and he was in fact told that he was placing the tenure of his post in jeopardy by writing critiques of Einstein's theory.
Really?
And was forced to stop. He's not the only one who's criticized it. He said that Rutherford, another famous scientist, had said it was a joke. And he also added that he didn't think Rutherford would have thought it was a joke, that's Einstein's relativity theory, had he realized how it would obstruct the rational development of science.
Interesting.
Oh, there are lots of other people against it as well, and they've all been shut up. For instance, one was Herbert Dingell. He was a professor of physics who taught relativity.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Until he suddenly realized that it had internal inconsistencies. He says that according to the principles of relativity, two observers in relative motion will each see the other clock running slow. He says a clock cannot run both fast and slow at the same time. And he wrote a book called Signs of the Crossroads, pointing out the errors in the theory. But again, he was shut up. The people are silenced if they object to relativity. So there's no real free speech on this area. It's all...
What about Professor Jean of Princeton
University?
Yes, Professor
Jean.
He was silenced as well, wasn't he?
Your professor of engineering. He was the Dean of Faculty of Engineering at Princeton University. And he was demoted from Dean of Faculty to Associate because he'd done some work on psychokinesis. It was a forbidden area, according to the physicists. And they had him demoted.
Well, that's a professional castration is what it is.
Oh, yes.
When did this happen?
About 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, yes, we corresponded with him, didn't we, Ron?
Well, see, psychokinesis, of course, PK, as we commonly call it, is a common subject on this program, as is remote viewing, which is another very interesting field, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes.
All sort of ties in together. Remote viewers, would they not just basically be tuning into the ether?
Yes,
seems like it, yeah.
Yes, it looks as if the ether will carry information of almost everything because it's a huge memory store, and so you could tap into it.
Well, it's everything.
And also it interconnects everything as well, so that you could, in fact, if you have the right capability, you should be able to view things from a distance, because the information can be transferred instantly from one point to another.
That's what remote viewers have found out. And
yes.
Big push on, allegedly, in China now to recruit people with psi ability. Certainly the Russians are continuing to work on it. They were the pioneers. While in America, the humorous aspect of it is that the CIA officially says that the program was interesting but didn't work, and they've disbanded it, and no more work is being done. Of course, that's ridiculous. There are people working on this all the time, I suspect, at very deep levels. But one last question for Michael. The resistance to people accepting the paranormal, how do you think that is going to break down? How soon? How quickly?
Well, it's happening thanks to the Internet. I was a bit frustrated until this Internet got off the ground, and the feedback I'm getting in the just a few months I've been on is absolutely fantastic, Jeff.
Yes.
And I'm sure this program will now get the ball rolling, and people will start to think for themselves instead of listening to experts.
Oh, yes.
Be very, very skeptical of experts, because they're professionals and they're pushing their own little thing.
And they have mortgages and they have egos and they have tenure and all the rest of it.
Exactly.
All right. Now, the website that is up right now for Michael Roll is www.cfpf. That's CF as in Charlie Frank, PF as in Paul Frank, cfpf.org. UK, and Ron will have his website up and running fairly soon. But in the meantime, gentlemen, can people direct email to you through your site, Michael? You're set up with that?
Yes, I've got an email address on my site.
So they'll go there, and they can also access Ron through your site as well?
Yes, and they've got to just read those suppress books that we've got there, including the Thomas Paine books. They're all there.
Well, hear for Thomas Paine. Good
wonderful.
Deal.
We love him to pieces.
Ron, one final comment from you, if you'd like. We have about a minute left.
I finished everything I want to say.
Well, you've done magnificently tonight. Let me again just take an opportunity to thank you for... I'm honored to be able to present you and share in your work on this program.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me home.
Yes,
it's very nice to have this opportunity.
So, Michael, thank you. Michael, thank you very much, and go ahead and say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night.
Never be frightened of dying.
Well said. We'll, Michael, we'll revisit this again. We'll do it again soon.
Exactly.
And I don't think we can do it too much. Thank you, gentlemen, both.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Good night.